Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. There was a member of our church from years gone by. He had had a bout of lung cancer and got away from it. And then his cancer returned. And I remember going over to their house, and he had just gotten word that this was it. He had just a little bit of time to live. And I remember being with him in his living room, and when he paused, he looked at me and he says, "Well, guess it's my turn." And it really struck me when he said that. You know, how many of you are looking forward to the fall and cooler weather? Amen? Then you're looking forward to winter and freezing. You know, I'm looking forward to Apple Hill weather. Overcast, 72 degrees, coat on, and getting an apple donut. Apple Hill weather. You know, I don't know how many more times I'm going to be seeing the fall come, and neither do you. You don't know either. I just know this. One of these days, it'll be us saying, either through the rapture or through death, "Well, guess it's my turn." Until then, I got to thinking, this is why we want to take this, what we're learning, and keep at it and keep at it. I'm amazed. Now, I know that there have been a lot of distractions on Sunday night, but I'm amazed that we started the spiritual warfare, the war on the saints, on the first Sunday night in this year, and we're still at it. These are just some things that we need to take note of. I rejoice in this. I didn't plan on this, but this morning's message was so important regarding the Word of God, and tonight it's the same thing. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go ahead once again and go to verse 10 and read through verse 17. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, got a phone call from somebody this last week here in the church about a situation in their workplace. Sometimes you find those kind of situations in the workplace. Sometimes you find them in family. But the fact of the matter is, you need to be ready by God's grace to be in that warfare, not to kill somebody else, but to be able to stand. Having done all, to stand. Now, I don't know. I wish sometimes we have this, we could have a discussion time, because I know that there's people here that could give some really useful thoughts. But this is so very important, because again, like we talked about this morning, we're being watched. And that's not the suspicion of some paranoid person going, "The government is here somewhere." That's not that. It's the fact that people are looking at you because you're a Christian. And so we need to be prepared. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. Especially when you're dealing with family. You're dealing with a close co-worker. Someone. There's a burden that you have. And by God's grace, you want to have done all to stand. That's what this has been all about. Verse 14. "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and they are there. We've discussed all this already. Now let's go to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now remember once again, just like the helmet of salvation, we read this, that it means to receive it. You're being given, it's being given to you. You don't earn your salvation, for instance, you receive it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. This is why, you know, we sometimes when we talk about God's Word, are you glad you have it? Oh, amen. Yeah, I'm glad. I am so glad I've got this. You know how blessed we are. You stop and think about this. Right now, we still have the freedom that we've got kids that can go from the nursery to my wife's class, then Lynn Gilbert's class, and they can hear the verses. They can be taught the songs. And then in junior church with Lisa, they can hear these things. You know, some of these songs, I mean, maybe we want to be more adult, but I still love the wise man built his house upon the rock. You know, we're going to wind up going down the road there, and we don't have to go. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. What's your favorite song from when you were a kid? Or you learned it as an adult? I do know this. There are some of us that we, you know, when we listen to Patch the Pirate, it's like, oh yeah, that's good stuff. I like that. What's your favorite song? This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it show. That right there? That's good. You ought to come up and sing it. Anybody else? What's that? Father Abraham. I could never figure out what's so important about that song, except the way some kids, you know, wind up doing the thing. Anyway. What's that? Wear them out? There you go. You know, that is a good idea. Maybe we ought to do that in adult church sometime, just to wear them out, you know. But take the sword of the Spirit. Take it. You know what we'll do? We'll have Roger and Cheryl come up and sing it sometime, along with Grace. The sword to which Paul is referring to here is what is known as the Makara. It varied in length. It would go from 6 inches to 18 inches. And it was the Roman's sword. It was the sword carried by the Roman soldiers that was principal when it came to their hand-to-hand combat. We're talking about up close and very personal. It was carried in a sheath or a scabbard that was attached to their belt. It was always handy, and it was ready to use. If you go through then you read, you take these passages and you look them up, maybe in an interlinear, you'll see that this is the sword that was carried, for instance, by those that came to arrest Christ in Matthew 26. It was also the same that Peter took, and he cut off Malchus' ear. And then it was used by Herod's executioners to put James to death. So very popular during that time. I want us to see several things tonight when it comes to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which really, if you were learning this for the first time, imagine you're being taught that this right here is as strong and lethal, spiritually speaking, a weapon as this sword. Now think about that. You know, this, well, I don't want to get ahead in my notes here. First of all, take it up. Take it up. Just don't let it sit. Take it up. Because this week, you're going to be attacked spiritually. You're going to need it. The devil will make sure that in some way, shape, manner, or form, you're going to wind up being involved in spiritual warfare. Please understand, the devil doesn't take God's people who are hungry for Him, who want to behold Him and believe Him. He is hungry to take you and trip you up. That means spiritual warfare. Remember, the word take, again, is to receive. The nature of this sword is spiritual, but it is equated to being a sword. Now, the source of the sword is the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God, and there are people that can look at the Word of God and go, it's boring. I don't understand it. We do. If we have the Holy Spirit, we do. We understand the importance of what is being told. Think of that fact, that of all the weapons in that time that could have been chosen, Hebrews 4:12, we know it, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. Now, notice something. He didn't say a club, didn't say a spear, didn't say anything like that. It was a sword, a very sharp, two-edged, short blade sword that was held close to you for close quarter combat. Not a battering ram, nothing like that. It was something that was used frequently by the soldiers, was kept close at hand for immediate use, very close range, and it had a definite effect on people that used it or that came to encounter with it. When the God of heaven tells you something, as what we've already read, take up, receive the sword of the Spirit, we need to do what? We need to take it. Have you ever been warned? You know, hey, listen, this is something that you need to do. Every year, isn't it kind of sad that we wind up hearing about people that drown right over here on the American River? They don't need to drown. Why? Life preservers, life vests. I mean, they're there. And every year, people are warned. Wear them. And what happens? Some people don't. And so what happens? They drown. Do you realize that if we really did a study, I don't really want to do anything like this, but I'm sure there are those that have really studied out folks, they've talked to them after the fact. There are people that, spiritually speaking, are suffering greatly, totally defeated, perhaps, because they did not take up the sword. The Lord told them, and they refused to. They didn't. They didn't think it was important. They thought they could do it on their own. We are commanded, take up the sword of the Spirit. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's one right there. You ever been tempted to sin? This is one thing that gets me. Is I get tempted, and I mean I really get tempted to sin. You know, maybe to get back at somebody. And you have to sit yourself down and you have to say, I'm not going to do it. Lord, I need your help. I want to do the right thing. It's not a thing where I want to, you know, do something and then beg God for forgiveness. I want to do the right thing right now. Why? Because of testimony. Because the fact of the matter is that's what God commanded. Now stop and think about that. This is why we take it up and we embrace it. We absolutely embrace it. So take it up. Number two, know it well. Know it well. You see, you get the Word of God with the Spirit of God, and you have the perfect teacher, the best of curriculum, and the teacher that can teach you well. Know it well. We've got this Holy Spirit that the Lord told us in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom, by the way, the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I have no excuse. By the way, you don't either. I have no excuse for sinning. There are times I want to. You know, getting Well, whatever. I'm not gonna go into it. But the point is we all wind up getting tempted. Ain't gonna do it. He teaches us. Good. If you're in John 14, go to verse 26. If you're in John 14, go to verse 26. But the Comforter, by the way, that word Comforter means someone called alongside. Stop and think about this. I mean, I don't know. There are those, I suppose, that when they're preaching, they can really bring this up in three dimension. But do you realize that while we're here in this service right now, and other people are going, oh, it's not all that important, but do you realize that the Holy Spirit is with you right now and He's instructing? He's taking what is being said from the Word of God and He's teaching you now. Right now. Sometimes we just don't stop and think about that. I have been in services, and I hope and pray that this has been the case here at times. When the preacher is preaching, he'll say something, and the Holy Spirit, wham! There's, wow, say that again. You know, it was great. It really fed you in something. I don't know what your difficulties have been, honestly. I don't know what your challenges have been. But I do know this, there are answers in this book. The Comforter, one who's called alongside, watch this, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. How many of you have ever been a school teacher? Raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, 5. Did you enjoy teaching? Yeah, good stuff, right? And did you enjoy it? Lynn, you're still a teacher. You like it? Okay, good. Imagine somebody that this is what they are doing now and they're God. God the Spirit. I don't think the Lord has to go to any conferences to learn how to do it better. I think He can do pretty good right now. Amen? This is what it is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. And here these people came, and next thing you knew, no, they're turning the world upside down. The emphasis in this passage that we're looking at here in Ephesians is how believers are to use the sword of the Spirit. It's to always be, as we said, ready at hand, close by. Listen to this. The Scottish pastor and writer Thomas Guthrie said this, quote, "The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible, and our sky has lost its sun." Think about this. We went to see a church, a group of people in southern Mexico years ago, back in 1997. There was a missionary that came into this village and led some of the people to the Lord. They got their Bibles, their Spanish Bibles, and after a month or two, and this group, they had trusted Christ, the missionary told them, I've got to go someplace else, but I'm coming back. I promise you, I'll come back and we'll continue. He never came back. He was never heard from again. And quite honestly, I think the Catholic Church got him down there. This was back, let's see, that was 97. That was back in the 70s. I wouldn't be surprised. Southern Mexico, people can disappear real easy. The missionary that we were with, when he came into that village, these people got excited. They had, how many years has it been? 20, had it been 20 years? I think it was 20 years. These people, for 20 years, were getting together and going through the Word of God. That's all they had. But they had the Word of God, and 1 or 2 months worth of what this missionary taught them. They got really excited. They said, "You're saying the same thing that this other man said." That's what the Word of God can do. That's what the Word of God can do. There was an unknown writer that wrote this on the Bible. "There are words written by kings, emperors, princes, poets, by sages, philosophers, fishermen, statesmen, by men learned in the wisdom of Egypt, educated in the schools of Babylon, and trained at the feet of rabbis in Jerusalem. It was written by men in exile, in the desert, in shepherds' tents, in green pastures, and beside still waters. Among its authors, we find a tax gatherer, a herdsman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. We find poor men, rich men, statesmen, preachers, captains, legislators, judges, and exiles. The Bible is a library full of history, genealogy, ethnology, law, ethics, politics, prophecy, poetry, eloquence, medicine, sanitary science, political economy, and the perfect rules for personal and social life. And behind every word is the divine author, God Himself." Now that's fascinating. And by the way, quite accurate, don't you think? This is what we have. Scripture teaches many truths about itself. First of all, and most important, who the author is. Now, that's something that we wind up having lost on us. I understand that. But when you stop and read verse 14, for instance, John 14, look at verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Not only does it challenge us to believe in God, it was written by God. God the Son. Stop and think about that. It's amazing to be able to read the words of somebody very well known and very famous. But to understand, this is the eternal God. These are His words. That's tremendous. Peter declared this in 2 Peter 1. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they felt." No, the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The Bible claims that it is inherent, infallible, containing no errors or mistakes. It's flawless. It's faultless. Psalm 19. We think about this immediately. "The law of the Lord is perfect." It's complete. It's without error. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Think about it. It's complete. It's authoritative. Isaiah declared this in Isaiah 1:2. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Now stop and think about what he was saying right there. God was saying through Isaiah, "I've spoken, I spoke, I gave command, and the children, the people that I have spoken to that belong to me, they have rebelled." Which again, remember, 1 Corinthians 10, these things were written for our admonition. Stop and think about it then. Have we listened and have we rebelled? The complications and the nuances of our lives as we live day to day are incredibly complex. In a moment, we can sin. We can say no to God. And then we are pricked by the Holy Spirit where He says, "That's not the direction that you go." It is really fascinating. What we need is when we go home, in the quietness of our homes, when you're by yourself, is to meditate on these kind of scriptures and go, "You know what? I've got to decide. Am I going to be cleaner or am I going to be clean?" I love that. I tell you, he said he's been preaching this all over the country, but I'd never heard David Gibbs speak on that. But that is really, really good. He said for years he was sinning. And I agree. You know, we wind up, the Lord points out something on our lives, and so we repent there. But what about just getting clean? And really, that's what we're supposed to do when we have the Lord's table anyway. And we'll go through the motions, But to really let God instruct us and point these things out. You see what I mean? Do you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You want to hear it? Are we kind of seeing what it's going to take? I hope and pray that's our desire. I really do. We want to hear, "Well done." I look forward to it there, and I smile and I think, yeah, that'd be good. And then I think of the nasty now and now, and I'm thinking, wow, that's going to be something. Lord, I need your help. Which, by the way, we have, because it's sufficient for our needs. We know this verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's times we just have to pray, Lord, help us to hear that again for the first time, as it were. I want to catch the impact of that. It's effective. It's determinative. He that is of God heareth God's words. If you know somebody that is in church and time after time after time, they're not catching what the Word of God is saying, they might not be saved. They might not have the Spirit of God. But even us, stop and think about that. We hear God's Word, I hope. But then you understand this, that if we hear it and we disobey it, boy, we just need the Lord. It's truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so what do? We remember, like it was starting out at the beginning. Like Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. This is something, Brother Dan, I'm so glad for. I'm not stuck. I can change. I can grow. I can get in shape. How many of you remember Dave Smith? He was missions conference. When last year? Year before? Okay. Dave Smith rides bike. And so he's seeing that I've got this program called Runtastic that I mount my phone on my bike, and I go out and I ride. And some of you maybe have seen it. I put it on Facebook. You know, I went 8 miles and I averaged 10.5 miles per hour. Dave Smith is getting ready to turn 70. Dave Smith went out and rode 17 miles and averaged almost 15 miles an hour. I don't like my brother Dave Smith. Now, he's got a road bike. I've got a hybrid. Mine's part mountain bike and stuff like that. But I'm thinking, I rode him. I said, man, game on. Game on. Here we go. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I might die. But, you know, I'm working it. So, you know, last night, when I went out riding, I kicked that thing into high gear, and I'm pumping it. I'm going, great! I'm averaging 15 miles an hour, and I'm dying. I need to get in shape. Better shape. Do something. Lose another 20 pounds. Do whatever. Just, you know, because the gauntlet has been thrown down. You know, I mean, this is it. It's like Brother Whiteside, you know, he loses all this weight and stuff. And I was like, how'd you do it, Roger? Oh, I just kind of pushed away from the table. Yeah, well, get away from me, would you? You know, no. So, praise God. That's great. I've got some brownies for you. I want you to eat afterwards. But yeah, game on. Yeah. But the point is this, is, you know, there's change that can be done. Folks, we can change. You're never done. You know that there's Christians that grow old in the Lord without growing up. Do you want to be one of those? No, I tell you what, you probably don't because you're here on a Sunday night. Praise God. Let's change. Let's grow. How do we do it? We learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Study to show thyself, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A fellow by the name of H.B. Barker gave an illustration that points this out well on knowing and applying biblical truth. As I looked out into the garden one day, I saw three things. First, I saw a butterfly. The butterfly was beautiful, and it would alight on a flower, and then it would flutter to another flower, and then to another, and only for a second or two it would sit, and it would move on. It would touch as many of the lovely blossoms as it could, but derived absolutely no benefit. Then I watched a little longer out my window, and there came a botanist. And the botanist had a big notebook under his arm and a great big magnifying glass. The botanist would lean over a certain flower and he would look for a long time and then he would write notes in his notebook. He was there for hours writing notes. Closed them, stuck them under his arm, tucked his magnifying glass in his pocket, and walked away. The third thing I noticed was a bee. Just a little bee. But the bee would light on a flower and it would sink down deep into the flower and it would extract all the nectar and pollen that it could carry. It went in empty and every time it came out full. Came to these conclusions. Number one, some Christians, like that butterfly, flit from Bible study, sermon to sermon, and from commentary to commentary while gaining little more than a nice feeling and some good ideas. Others, like the botanist, study Scripture carefully and take copious notes. They gain much information, but little truth. Others, like the bee, go to the Bible to be taught by God and to grow in knowledge of Him. Also like the bee, they never go away empty. They never do. Let's go to Matthew 4 as we finish up. A passage that I have brought up before, obviously, but it is absolutely the classic when it comes to teaching us the importance of and the reason that we learned the Word, the importance of learning and the reason why we learned. The Lord Jesus Christ showed us Himself how to take the sword of the Spirit out. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want you, and we could go on, you know the story the very same way I do, that He was offered three times, at least that's recorded, three times by the devil, was tempted. You'll notice a couple of things every time. Number one, the Lord knew the Scripture. Number two, He knew the application of that Scripture. He knew the Word, but He knew how to apply it. He knew what Scripture to apply. Now, why is that important? Because there is an attitude among Christians today in America, so many of them at least, they say that when it comes to the Bible, it just doesn't really apply to modern life. Do you realize that the Lord was quoting scripture that had been written hundreds of years before? But it applied. It not only applied, it applied right there when he was fighting the spiritual warfare. So, you know, we think about this. What passages? I mean, Satan comes along and says, see, you've got a problem. You're not loving. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're commanded to love. Love one another as I have loved you. I say unto you, love your enemies. No, the Lord taught us what to do. And that's exactly how we act, by God's grace. We wind up hearing about somebody that falls into sin. What do? We pray for them. When it comes to our own situation, Lord, I'm having difficulty. I just don't know what to do. How many of the promises of God's Word do we have that we can remember? We can remember. You know, we've got some kids and some young people growing up in this church that need some encouragement. They need some encouragement. This day and age, how many of you grew up in the church, and when you were 13, 14 years old, and you heard the adults talking about the shape that America was in, say, in the 1960s, how many of you got a little disconcerted when that, you know, you were hearing that stuff? It's like, wow, Mom, I'll never forget it. It was my birthday, 1960. When was the Cuban Missile Crisis? 62 or 63? No, was it one? 62. I thought it was 62. It's my birthday. I'm going again to Nevada Avenue School, and I always walked home for lunch because our house was just, you know, a couple of corners, and boom, there we are from the school. I walk in, the television's on, they're talking all this stuff. I'm getting ready to have my 9th birthday. That's a lot of fun, 9th birthday. And I asked Mom what's going on. And she said, I'll never forget this. She said, we might be at war before the day is over. I did not feel like striking out and singing happy birthday to me. That was tough. That was hard. Listen. We've got some young people that are growing up right now, and there's a whole lot of talk going on about what's happening. Can we be encouraging? Can we be praying for them? And you know, the little kids, yeah, I don't know how much they pick up, but we've got some that are 9, 11, 12, 14 years old, 15 years old. We've got some young people here that need to understand that every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. You know the songs that we sing? Who wants to come up and lead us in that? you see what I'm saying? We can get here and we can say, praise God, got the word, yes, glory. But meanwhile, they might be going through some of their own struggles. And they might be hearing us talk about stuff that's going on, and it's not always really good. And I include myself in this. When we see our young people, let's be an encouragement. Amen. I love how the Lord was an encouragement to us in Matthew 4. Hey, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. It is written. And he takes that sword right out. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the word that we have. I pray that you would bless us, Lord, as we are daily in it, but then recognizing what it does, how it teaches us, how we can use it. I pray that you'd help us to be an encouragement to our young people here, and how things are just not what they used to be in our nation. But Lord, we need not fear. You are with us. We have the word. And Lord, we rejoice in what you told us, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So bless, I pray, this week. Lord, Help Faith Baptist to be a testimony of your power, your grace, your salvation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.